Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all there is to it. Put a square peg in a round hole, just never seems to fit.
This is Bianca Belair.
Hey, this is Kevin Owens.
Hey, it's Seth freaking Rollins.
It is the man, Becky Lynch.
Rhea Ripley here, and you're listening to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman, for a special interview show, because we don't do a lot of them anymore, so I guess we can call these special shows. Tonight, or today, or whenever you're listening to this, we have Michelle K. Haslak here from Dude, Where's My Ring in Perth. Michelle, how are you, my friend? It's good to talk to you. I haven't talked to you for ages, actually.
I know. We haven't spoken for ages. I'm doing well. Doing well. Like I said before we went live, always busy around here. life. We could just leave it as life. Life is life. Busy. But trying to remember that busy is usually good. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's better than, like, I always notice when I go on holidays, after the first 2 days, I'm just like, right now, what am I going to do?
Oh, no. And then I overanalyze like everything that's going on as well. It's like keeping busy keeps the brain busy. And like my grandparents were always doing things. My mum, she's like over 60 now, still working, all that kind of stuff. So busy is good. So we'll keep it at that.
Yeah. Well, the last time I had holidays, I think I wrote like a whole synopsis for a whole, like a new, like a specialized gimmick promotion. With names, like scripts and timetables and what I needed to run it and what other. I'm like, why am I doing this? And I was like,
what? Well, yeah.
Because it ate up 8 hours. That's why you did it, Todd.
It's this exactly. Or billions,
which is what I've been doing this week. So for those of you at home, don't know, like the reason we get to do this, because I'm actually home this week, I'm looking after my little girl, my little Pugsky. She's not doing too well. So I have to be on Pug Dad duty. So if I'm on Pug Dad duty, I'm going to try and keep myself busy. So like organizing interviews and setting stuff up, that's what I do. Like the funny thing is, like this week on like the show, which is on, well, I can't say what it's on because this will probably air afterwards. We're doing or reviewing the RCW Big Top Beatdown.
Yeah, and okay.
I hit the boys. I'm like, how about we review this as well? And they're like, we still have work, Todd. We're not sitting at home. That's fair. You don't have time to do that, too.
It's like that solo review for you.
Yeah. And that is boring as shit. I've tried to do that. So you just come off the huge weekend, being you're in Perth, the huge weekend with Elimination Chamber and all that. How did your
huge
shows
weekend
go?
Shows went really well. So we did the Friday night, which we did sell out, and we did the Saturday matinee show, which sold out as well. Both were awesome. Had like a bunch of people that we've never had do our shows, or yeah, because our shows, there is no ring. That's probably like the big thing that we can point out. There is no ring. So we had a lot of people who'd never done no ring before, and everyone had a blast. Like the people on the card had a blast. Awesome matchups. The crowds were really into it. Obviously, it was a lot of stress trying to run two shows with like less than 24 hours in between, like end of one show, start the next show. But yeah, I think we could say it was a success. Like two shows, one weekend, other wrestling shows, other wrestling stuff happening, having sellouts and everything. I think it went really, really well.
Yeah, because that's the one thing, like I think I talked to Jeff about it when we were talking off air, is like, it must have been so hard. Like, I know that EPW, I think they sold like 800 plus tickets for their show. And then there was you guys that sold out both of your shows. And I was like, the money for that must just, there had to be some point where there was an exhaustion of money where people were just like, look, I can't afford to do all this stuff and go to WWE and buy all the merch we want and our $15 hot dogs. So, like, for them to make the choice to come to your show is obviously it's an awesome deal.
Oh, it's a huge thing. You know, as someone who went to Elimination Chamber as well, it's like just going to that exclusively, like the tickets just for that show and knowing how much, like, merchandise and food and all that. And then you've got the people who are coming from either regional or interstate, the amount of money they have to spend for accommodation, all that kind of stuff. And then obviously time, like people taking a block of time out of their weekend to come and check us out or check someone else out. Yeah, that's awesome that they consider us worth their time and their money. So, yeah, I can't be more grateful for people giving us a shot. And we've gotten nothing but positive feedback from people who've come, like whether it was in person or we've had emails and stuff sent through as well. I think we had someone from every state come to each show as well, which is mind-blowing.
I talked to, I think it was Bob. I talked to Bobby from EPW.
Yeah, yeah.
The makeup of their show was, I think it was like 35% or something like that. 35 or 60. I'll just double check it because I don't want to misquote him and be wrong and, and you know, have people go, you were
yeah.
wrong. But the, because I talked about it on like our show, because I was very interested to know what like the breakdown of the crowd was that went to EPW,
yeah.
first time people that had never seen Aussie wrestling and they were just like in town to watch wrestling and thought, oh, there's a show on here, let's go and check out.
Yeah.
And like interstate people and all of that sort of thing. They had 36% of their paid attendance was from interstate.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Really? When you think about that, that's like over a third of your whole audience isn't from here.
Yeah. So that's a like
that's nuts.
And I don't know if that means that the 30 because they can't break down like okay from that 30% or 36%, how many of you guys go to local wrestling where you're from? Because you,
yeah.
A, no one's going to sit down and answer those questions, and B, there's no real way to quantify it. But it's really interesting to me that they're able to draw that from everywhere. People have obviously seen something around and gone, oh, okay, there's a show here tonight. We'll go and see that before we go to, instead of going to maybe, and, I don't know, Undertaker on the same time?
Yeah, so that same night there was the Undertaker show and then there was the EPW Super Show and there was our show as well and all three sold out.
Mm.
That's in the scope of wrestling in WA. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah, yeah. So how did you sort of like you get the stuff? Because obviously like starting a promotion is one thing. Starting a promotion where you're promoting the fact that you don't have a ring is probably completely different. Like we've talked online before about like my feelings on like deathmatch wrestling and all that stuff. And it's like
to be
like completely upfront with everybody, it's not my cup of tea. I don't tell people not to go and watch it. But it's just not my thing.
Yeah.
How did you come up with the idea and then B sort of like pitch it to other people? Because I don't know how big a deathmatch community you have in Perth. Do you know what I mean?
I totally understand that. So our first show that we did last year, there was a tag match, a tag team deathmatch. That was the first deathmatch in WA ever. And then us also having the no ring show. That was also the first no ring show in Perth ever. I personally really like the idea of having no ring, like being involved in wrestling for, started training in 2002. God, I'm old. Something that I particularly like about no ring is that we have the ability to set up anywhere. We don't have to worry about height restrictions. We don't have to worry about hiring a van, having a crew to put together the ring. Obviously, we still need to make sure there's enough space to perform because I don't like the idea of just people brawling in an audience. Like I do like the idea of actually having a space. Like most people are used to working in the confines of a ring. So at least having that space kind of blocked out means that you're still used to working in those the normal scopes of the ring. But I just like the idea of being like, hey, got this idea, not going to hold any like anything back and be like, we do use this. We will probably bleed everywhere, blah, 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 blah. These are, you know, footage, blah, blah, blah. And just be like, this is what we want to present. How do you feel about it? And we have run... going into our third venue, coming up for our one-year show.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we have been so honest about, like, the extremes of what we can do without the ring, people are, every venue we've been to has been incredibly honest and like being very receptive to the idea. And I think that's because
were they receptive because they didn't think it was real, or were they receptive because they were just receptive? You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're obviously faking some of this stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what? The venues that we've been to, Seasonal, which is our usual venue that we go to, the guy who runs Seasonal, Greg, who's just fantastic, he used to run punk gigs in the UK, right? So he also is a big fan of Progress and Eve and things like that over in the UK. So when I went to him and I suggested the idea of doing it with no ring and stuff like that, he already had a really good idea of what wrestling was. And then I sent him some video of, like, just some no-ring stuff so I could be like, this is exactly what I'm talking about. He's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, he's big on, like, Big Japan, stuff like that as well. So working with people who actually have a pretty good idea of what we're trying to achieve is a huge bonus as well. Huge bonus. Because obviously wrestling is such a subjective art. you'd know this with booking venues and stuff. It's like sometimes people just don't get it at all. And working with people who at least have an open mind or some understanding of it really, really helps. Really helps.
They don't get it until the first time you're in the venue. Then they're like, oh, I see.
Yeah.
But and then of course, like, before the show, you see the little snide comments and all sort of that, and you're like, yep, we've heard it all before. That's fine.
Yeah. Not really anything you can say that we haven't heard.
Yeah. I suppose it would have been a massive help for that first venue, the fact that the guy was like a wrestling fan and sort of like a real niche wrestling fan, for you to be able to book
other venues.
Because I guess, like, if you didn't have him and you just had to keep going to other venues, then it might have been a bit harder. So I guess that might have been a real like leg up for you, and sort of lucky in that respect.
Like, the first venue we went to, which was Badlands, which was an awesome venue, which is now closed now. Not our fault that they're closed.
Gotta clean those locker rooms, mate.
But this is one of those things, right? Like, being wrestlers, we're very used to, okay, so we make sure it's as good as, or if not better than when we showed up, right? So, like, clean and everything is freaking spotless. And then when we were leaving, like, the people who were working the bar that night's like, what's going on in here? And I'm like, what do you mean? Well, what have we missed? And it's like, no, this is spotless. Like, you guys have left nothing behind. It's so nice and clean and tidy. And it's like, oh, isn't this what bands and stuff do? No, not at all. So the fact that we're
worried about coming back on a regular basis.
Yeah, true. But I was also just very surprised, like, you know, these people are giving you a space to perform no matter what that is. Like, at least have the respect to be, like, thankful for giving us a space to perform, whether that's wrestling, music, or otherwise. Like, I don't know. That's just my mindset. You want other people to be able to perform there as well, right? Like,
yeah. How worried are venues that you possibly would damage, like, part of their, just because of the nature of like, there's not a lot of times I would guess where it stays just in that like circle that you set up.
Yeah, so we tend to have like three different styles of matches that we do. So we do the deathmatch wrestling stuff, which predominantly the deathmatch wrestling actually does stay in that square, because there is, you know, that's when you have the barbed wire or the thumbtacks or like those kind of things, which can have a habit of splintering off going elsewhere, right? So mentally I always kind of go, okay, we're not going to shatter glass in the middle of a crowd because that's fucking dumb. Okay, so we will keep that inside this space. We do have barroom or brawls as well, so obviously being a brawl, go around the outside, stuff like that, but that's more brawling as opposed to the more deathmatch stuff. And then we have like traditional style wrestling matches. Like, we've had timed round English rules kind of matches, and that obviously always just stays within the same confines as well. So we don't really take, I'm very mindful of this. If it's something that could potentially cause harm to others, you don't take it outside. You just don't. It's not smart. Like, yeah. It's just not. And I think that's why I'm kind of like, I do like the idea of having that particular space kind of guarded off, because then that does at least have that break between what the wrestlers are doing and what the patrons are able to sit, enjoy, and actually just having that bit of a break there, because I think that's important too.
Mm. Have you ever had like an issue because, like, being the way it's set up, you don't have barricades, you don't have the ring for them to try and climb into. Have you ever had a point where, like, punters have gotten a little bit too much into them and thought, I can have a crack here?
No. No, I've got to say, like, our audience is such a well-behaved audience. It's I'm almost a bit surprised by it, because this was something that I was we always have security, stuff like that, like, because that's just smart. We have never had someone think that they can step up to the wrestlers, whether it's been during the show, before the show, after the show. Our audience is incredibly respectful, and I do feel like our audience isn't like the typical wrestling audience in a lot of ways either. Like, we've had a night which is entirely themed emo, and 90% of that audience was dressed as emo, singing along to My Chemical Romance. I almost feel like they're really respectful of the artistry of what the wrestlers do. It's actually really cool. And the amount of people who come up was like, oh, my God, that's amazing. Never knew something like this actually existed. Like, really respectful of what we do. It's, like I said, considering it's over 18s and people are drinking and stuff like that, that in itself is its own thing, whether it's what we do or if it's just like a normal wrestling show, people who drink tend to get a bit rowdy. Never had that issue. Kind of helps when you got scary motherfuckers like Slate and stuff doing it.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, it's not really. I just get, because I know I've had one incident in my time where someone was trying to get into the ring to get something, and it was just like someone who was completely sourced up and that. And I was just like, that's where I thought, like, there's no real way at the time, like, to, like, in other places where you got to get over a barricade and you got to get in the ring, there's like time where you can see the person coming. He's not supposed to be in here. Oh shit.
See, like, so no, I've been attacked. I got attacked by a fan once. And this is when I was like managing GST and EPW. So we're talking early 2000s here. And yeah, it was very much like watching this chick kind of slowly make her way through the audience, and then she's jumping off the barricade and does like a fly kick, and then just kind of like sidestep it. Oh shit, take it down. And then the other guys in the ring also, we will neutralize this situation. But yeah, we've never had that. And I think because of the way that it's set up, like, the first venue actually had quite big steel fencing around the pit, which is hard for anyone to get over anyway, especially if they're sourced up. Good luck.
Yeah.
And then here we do have two rows of seating as well. But everyone's really well behaved.
Yeah. That's good.
Surprisingly.
I got punched in the side of the head this weekend. So, I mean.
Really?
Yeah, it was a kid, so I didn't really feel much.
It was like, that's when you rip apart the parent.
Brooksy was on the outside, so I was like not breaking the rules at all and stomping him.
Yeah.
And obviously the kids were not happy I was stomping him. So one of them threw a punch and hit me on the side of the head. And that's when Brooksy goes, just choke me. I'm like, okay. So they couldn't reach me anymore. Oh.
So you're lowered down so they can't actually get to you. Right. No,
the funny thing is because I don't have the best hearing at the best of times. So I'm like stomping Brooks, and I get punched. And I swear to God, he said, chop me. And I'm like, why the fuck would I chop you? You're lying down. Like, all right. So I come down with this chop, and he puts both hands up. I'm like, what are you doing? And he goes, I said, choke me, idiot. I'm like, oh.
Oh. Yeah, I can just imagine that he's laying there, a chop overhead.
Yeah, that's what I'm just like.
Yeah.
Fucking thing I've ever. All right, fair enough. Okay, you're the boss, mate.
So, but yeah, I've definitely copped way worse abuse at
normal
at normal shows. Way worse. Way worse.
So, being the nature of what it is, and I know mm-hmm. that this is a question that gets brought up a lot with the other feds and the ones that we do not mention anymore. Mm-hmm. What safety measures do you sort of put in place for your workers?
Okay, so first of all, I'd like to say that all of our wrestlers that we have, the one with the least experience is on 4 or 5 years experience at this point. So we don't have inexperienced rookies and stuff doing our shows in the first place. And when it comes to the deathmatch stuff as well, if you have a look at our roster, there's only been me, King Shahil just recently, James Hartness, Felix Young and Jared Slate, who are all the ones who have done the death matches, right? So we have all been doing this. I think the least experienced one would be James Hartness, and he's still at 6 years. Jared Slate, he's also – people forget that he went and trained with Lance Storm and stuff as well. We're all, like, pretty proficient people. But as far as safety measures go – I'm a big believer that no matter what kind of wrestling show you're at or do, you should have someone who's a trained medic. We do have a paramedic, Steve, who also used to wrestle as well, so he's a bit more cluey on injuries as they happen as well. So that's, like, first big tick. Is like you, I don't care if it's a deathmatch promotion or otherwise. I do feel like having someone who's medically trained is a big thing, whether it's, like, a big accidental gash on the arm or someone breaks their arm. You need to have someone there who knows how to respond to that.
Yeah.
And that's their job. We also do our blood tests. We're really big on making sure that everyone's clean, especially if we're bleeding all over the place. Got to make sure that we're clean with that kind of stuff as well. As with other shows, like you should have your public liabilities and all that kind of stuff crossed off as well. Deathmatch, you should always have danger pay. If there's other stuff that goes wrong, like make sure that there's enough pay there that if other things go wrong, that it's covered, because it's something that danger pay is something that I can't believe that's not something that's across the board. If you're being asked to do something that's significantly more dangerous, you probably should get covered for that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got things like I myself.
I know personally for the way I book things, before I book mm-hmm. anything, I'll go and ask the person, like, this is my idea. Are you cool with this?
Yeah.
Before I just go ahead and go, hey, we're going to do a last man standing match, or we're going to do a...
Yeah, 100%.
You know what I mean? And it shocks me that I hear about a lot of promoters that don't, and they just
book people
in matches. And, like, there was one recently, and I won't name any names or the promotions or anything like that, that, like, just out of the blue, he got found that he was in a tables match. He had no idea.
Yeah,
he was
that's
in
not it. Something.
He didn't even know.
That's not something you can just string on someone.
No, yeah, but that's what he's like, is this normal? No, dude, that's not normal. You should be. Like, I ask everybody before, I like, this is my idea for the angle, and this is where we're going to lead. Are you cool with this? Because if you're not, I'll think of something else.
Yeah.
Like, the easiest thing for me to do is just think of another idea rather than put somebody in, like, somewhere that they don't want to be, and don't feel pressured to say yes because I'm the booker mm-hmm. and I'm telling you that this is what I want to do. Don't feel that pressure at all, because it's your life. It's your livelihood at the end of the day. You still have to go home after this and go to work and all of that sort of stuff. So, yeah,
exactly. I think
you really have to do that sort of stuff.
Yeah, so everyone who's done death matches or even the barroom brawls and stuff like that, we obviously always – I'm astounded that someone hasn't actually been cleared to see if that's okay.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're all fine with it. We had Big Fudge and stuff as well. And it's like, you know, this was the idea. Are you cool with this idea? And he's like, yeah, yeah. I'm like, are you sure you're cool with this idea?
Yeah, are you sure? Speaking to this microphone, please.
Yeah. At that, no one would be put into, like I said, even with the barroom brawls and stuff as well, it's a situation where, as a wrestler, you've got to be confident in your ability to perform in that kind of environment, because accidents do happen. Even if you chuck a rookie in a normal match and they're not ready, accidents can happen. And it's not just you who can get messed up, it's your opponent. And obviously everyone else on that show can look pretty terrible if things don't go right.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing that, like... one thing that infuriates me is when I see like a rookie getting like, I'm like something that, that you and I can see, but maybe the fans can't see. Like we can tell when a rookie is getting taken advantage of in the ring. Mm-hmm. And nothing makes me mad at all when like I can see somebody not protecting somebody or just taking advantage of them. That's the one time you'll see me like tear shreds off somebody when they get to the back. Because like that,
because
that's
what we ultimately do. We're all working together, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're working together. You're literally putting someone else's life in your hands when you're wrestling that person. And I'm a big believer that it doesn't matter if it's like, you know, a 2-minute squash match or a 60-minute Ironman match, if it's a death match, tables match, ladder match, even a comedy match, if there's some stupid spot in there, things can go wrong. And you've got to make sure that you have the confidence of the other person that you're working with in there, because accidents can happen. And you've got to make sure that everyone on that card is willing to work with each other.
Yeah. I've been really lucky in my career that I've always been in a position where, like, if somebody goes, I want you to do this, and I can just go, no, you, I don't
know. No.
You have, no. My running joke is, you haven't earned that. Because I'm, like, because I'm a heel that I've got a lot of heat, I'm like, you got to earn the bump, buddy, off me.
Because I'm so old now. Because I'm so old now. It's like, you get one bump. Make it a good one.
Yeah, that is true. I remember managing in this big, it was like a big 8-man like cage match. It was like a limited, like a war games type of cage match. And they're all planning all these crazy spots and all of that stuff. And they're like, why aren't you saying anything? I said, because you're all going to kill yourselves and I'll take one bump and get the biggest pop of the night. So, I mean, you can keep doing this if you want, boys, but I'm just letting you know that this is what's going to happen.
Yep. But it's working smart.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly. It's good to know that you've put sort of all of that in place, because it's a massive part of it. And I know it's a thing that a lot of other promotions that have been in your sort of genre haven't done in the past, where you're like, why is that person doing that? They have no experience. Like, we know, like, this guy's been working for 6 months. Why are you putting him in this match? I don't care if they said they're cool with it. They're not ready.
Yeah. That's like, I guess if we go and have a look at the people who do that kind of stuff regularly here, I've been referred to as a deathmatch wrestler now, and I think I've done 4 or 5. 4 or 5 in 2 years. But I've done tables, hardcore, all that kind of stuff quite prolifically, splattered along that 20-year plus.
I will say, man, there's a lot more photos of you online bleeding than there is of you not bleeding.
For the first time ever, Starcast goes international. Oceania Pro Wrestling presents Starcast Down Under, set to take Ballarat, Victoria by storm from April 11th through to April 14th. Bringing the StarCast experience to Australia. And with all the staples of StarCast that has made it a wrestling fan's dream destination. Meet and greets with your favorite wrestling stars of yesterday and today. Live stage shows including A Sunday with Bret Hart, a retrospective on his Hall of Fame career, including a special watch-along celebration of the 30th anniversary of the Hitman's legendary WrestleMania 10 match against his brother Owen. Also including an audience Q&A with the excellence of execution. We'll also have live wrestling shows, in-ring action, including Mickey James's all-women's show, Her, and a special supercard, Bret Hart's Australian Stampede. All this along with the photo ops, autographs, merch and memorabilia, making Ballarat the place to be this April. Never before has a weekend like this taken place in Australia until now. StarCast Down Under, presented by Oceania Pro Wrestling. Tickets are available now. Visit StarCast.com for more information.
Hey, but I like those photos. Okay? Yeah, I know. I'm just like, they look pretty. Red's a good color on me. And then the people from my shoot job see it, and they're just like, is that real blood? Yeah, but you should see the other guy. But, you know, I just cannot understand why you put someone in a situation they're not comfortable with. Like, Jared Slate's been doing hardcore stuff for years, and he is really in his element when it comes to the deathmatch kind of stuff. He really, really is. He shines amazingly with this stuff. But he just, the way he thinks about things too, it's not just like, oh, we'll just smash each other in the head with this and this and this. Seeing how his brain actually works when he thinks about how he's going to tell a story using these implements and stuff like that, by God, it's amazing to watch how his brain works. It's not, like I said, it's not just thoughtless stuff being thrown around all over the place. Like, the amount of thought he puts into the contraptions that he makes and how they use them, incredible. But his brain works like that with standard matches. So
I was going to say, is that how you counter people that just say, oh, that's just deathmatch bullshit?
We tell really good stories. Like, it's never just random, because there is that very fine line where it can go from like a really intriguing deathmatch to something that is to something that can just be garbage wrestling and backyard style wrestling, right? Yeah. So there's, being deathmatch wrestlers, we are all trained professional wrestlers with a lot of time under our belts. We should be able to utilize what we've used over the past 10 plus years to tell a good story, and using that weaponry as a way to, okay, so wrestling's already an action movie, let's make it a horror film. And you don't really just have horror films just from people getting stabbed around the place. Like, there's usually there's a story to it. So
yeah,
let's utilize that.
Yeah. This is like the one thing, because I don't mind a death match when it's like I've always said, I don't mind a death match when it's like the end of a feud. Like, these people have gone through every other style of match, and there's no possible way these two can get along, so we're just going to, like, that's it, death match. But when you see stuff like two people get in the ring and they'll grab, like, a light tube and smash it over their own head first, I'm like, what was the point of that? You have this weapon. Why are you doing that? Like, for me, it immediately switches me off.
Yeah. Yeah. That you know, wrestling's meant to have, like, a level of respect or animosity, right, as to why things happen. So we have had death matches where it's a level of respect, and we literally are just trying to get that level of respect from the other person. So me and Shah, the latest one, was like that. It's really hard to kind of take that level of respect seriously when you're already doing something to hurt yourself with that.
That's exactly my point. Like, I need some sort of level of realism in it, like an actual like this is why I'm doing this. Like everything I do in like wrestling, from my character point, is like I can easily explain that this is why I'm doing this. And this is why I feel like I am right, because there was always that. I think it was like Mick Foley was just like, the biggest thing about a heel is that he should always believe he's right in what he's doing. There should always be a reason why he's doing this.
I am a huge Disney fan, and I think that we know that if we have a look at like some of the stuff behind me over the shoulder here. Even the Disney villains, right, they do some pretty horrendous things, but in their mind, they are correct.
Yeah,
you can look at dictators. You can look at dictators and stuff through history as well. In their mind, they are correct. You know, but there's always got to be that kind of thing. My character's a bit different because I really don't care about wins or losses or anything. I just like to make people uncomfortable. So if I go out there and I don't make people uncomfortable now, that's really odd. People are kind of expecting that now. So, but yeah, with the deathmatch stuff, it's like, I do feel that it should be added onto what is already the awesome storytelling that you can get in professional wrestling. And just so like any other kind of wrestling, it's like, you can have really shit comedy matches, you can have really shit technical matches, you can have, you know, I just like good wrestling.
Yeah.
And good wrestling has to have a reason for it happening, or at least a drive behind the characters within those stories to make those things happen.
Yeah. So is that something you like impress on like your roster during like a pre-show meeting or something? Like, just don't do something for the sake of doing it. Like, just make something make sense, please.
Yeah. I'm very much I am incredibly lucky to have an awesome roster. If you have a look at the roster and what they've been able to do before coming to Dude, I am incredibly lucky that I've got a bunch of very, very talented people who are very, very good at what they do. You know, it's one of those things where I can literally say, okay, this is your match and this is what I want from your match. So I need this person to look like this. I need you to look like that. How you get there, have some fun with it and stuff. But my people are so fucking good that they will make everything make sense for it to get to that point. Well, I've got awesome guys like Jay Taylor, for example, we've got, and he's been wrestling for forever. And he's just so good at making something out of nothing and making it to the point where it's like, okay, you gave me exactly what I wanted. I don't know how you got it in the way that you did, but you did it. And that's awesome. Same with like Felix Young, Jared Slate, like the great George, Aaron O'Malley. Like these guys are prolific wrestlers. They are fantastic. And just not having a ring there is just another challenge. Just something to get the brain working a bit differently. Because you can't run off ropes and stuff like that. You can't throw someone out of the ring.
I see when I said to you, because I watched before we talked today, I watched Mikey and Jared, Mikey Nichols and Jared. I think the first thing Mikey did after he put Jared through a table was go to pick him up to whip him into ropes, just out of instinct.
And then you're like,
anyway, I was like, oh, he doesn't remember there's ropes there. There's no ropes there. And he's just gone, shit.
Yeah, but that's like the fact we could have someone like Mikey Nichols just randomly pop up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he has fun. And like you saw him in his match with Slate. Like, that's a good match.
Yeah.
A good match. And it told a story. It wasn't just people randomly hitting each other randomly. It told a story. You know, and that isn't that what wrestling's supposed to be? Like, telling stories?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't get any argument from me.
This ain't boxing. Give me a story.
Oh, my God. You're looking to get into trouble from people now, aren't you?
Well, boxing, what's the story in boxing? It's like, who's the best? Who's going to knock the other person out the fastest?
Yeah.
In wrestling, also, that's a pretty boring story.
But also, too, like, boxing is, I don't want to say boxing is real. Boxing isn't setting out to entertain. They're setting out to compete. Exactly. There's a totally different sort of mindset.
They don't get paid by the hour.
So have you, like, being that you've sort of set this up and you've been really successful with it over the last year, have you had other people from other like states hitting you up going, how did you do this? I'd like to try this sort of thing. And then what do you say to those people?
We've had people who have wanted to give like deathmatch a shot, I guess. They've contacted us. You know, I'm really big on making sure that you train and you do proper training and you've got years under your belt and everything before you give this a shot, because this is not something that you can just chuck like a six-month rookie into. It's really not, because you've got to get your brain going and stuff. And not just even with just the deathmatch stuff. Wrestling in this kind of environment is really interesting because you can't do bump and feeds. You can't just throw clotheslines. You can't just do suplexes. You've really got to get your mind working on a different level to do this kind of stuff. As far as shows and stuff goes, I do think that No Ring still has a pretty bad stigma about it, but I'm really hoping that the way that we run things, like actually running it like it's a professional wrestling show and taking all those proper precautions that you should take with a normal wrestling show, and the way that we present it, the talent that we use, that hopefully that changes a bit. But that changes a bit, because it can be presented very well.
Yeah. And how was that? Was that hard to get across to people? Like, we're just running this like a proper professional wrestling company. Like, was that really hard for you to get that across to some people?
Yes. especially with the first show that we run. Obviously, we got the okay with the venue, and we did everything that we needed to do with the venue. A lot of people thought... Not a lot of people, but some people thought that this could have been quite detrimental to wrestling in the state. but we did it anyway, and now we're here a year later, and we've been selling out shows for the last year and getting really positive reviews. And, you know, the wrestlers are having fun. Wrestlers are getting paid well, bringing in a different audience, making different connections with people who didn't know wrestling existed, bringing... It's just a different level to the wrestling here? Because I think sometimes people forget we only have three feds here before we kind of jumped in as well. And they were all very similar as far as their presentation of wrestling. So EPW to me here is always going to be like top tier, you know, that WWE style presentation of wrestling. And that's the audience that they draw as well, right? So you got them, and then you got NH and you got SCW. Again, they're very family friendly. I just wanted something really different. And I have so many people who come to our shows who aren't traditional wrestling fans, who just come to our shows because they have so much fun. And because of that, they have gone to other shows as well, because they've seen our wrestlers and they've seen them go elsewhere and they're like, oh, yes, I want to go see that person do something elsewhere. So, yeah. You know, I just like the idea of, imagine having wrestling where it's like every weekend wrestlers can wrestle and they get paid well and companies draw, and then eventually everyone draws and then everyone gets really big and then everyone gets paid really well. And I just think that would be a really, really cool idea to happen eventually. And I wouldn't want to do anything to stop that growth from happening.
No. But I mean, like, I guess you can kind of understand where they were coming from to start with, because they probably wouldn't have known that you had everything set up the way you obviously set it up before you started running.
Yeah.
Because I think that's the biggest part of it is, like, you have to make sure you've got the framework together before you go, oh, we're just going to do a no ring show.
Yes. Like, yeah.
Totally
yeah.
different to just oh, going.
Totally understand
this in
that.
Place, this in place. I've got this money set aside, this money. Because that's the one thing that's always stopped me from doing something like running my own place up here. Because, like, I've always had people ask me, why don't you just run your own thing? You keep doing this for other people. And why aren't you doing it? Because I don't have the money to set it up to start off the way I want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, if I had enough money that I could have everything the way I wanted to have it, I could have, like, I could – booking the venue doesn't really bother me because I could find a venue. You can always find a venue.
Yeah.
I have people that are my friends that own rings. I could have a ring. That's not the problem. It's making sure you have the money for everything before the match. Like, if I ever started something, I want the money to be able to pay the wrestlers before the show and not rely on tickets and then have to go, oh, I'm really sorry, we didn't sell enough tickets. I can't pay you what I said. Yeah. That for me, that annoys the shit out of me.
So, like, our first show, that was meant to be a one-off. That was meant to be very much a, let's see how it goes. You know, back of my mind, I'm like, no one's going to like this. It's just going to be a vanity project and it's going to be a flop and I'm going to destroy wrestling. and I'm just going to ruin wrestling for everyone. And, you know, that show, it did well. It did really, really well to the point where I'm like, I'm surprised at how well this has gone, that people are actually really interested in this idea. So there wasn't a whole lot of money put into that first show. But luckily the first show went so well that we've been able to put money aside and keep building it as we go along. And then we can get someone like Chris Weiss over here to have a death match in a place that we used to hang out in when we were like in our early 20s. That's where our next venue is. And that's like just that full circle kind of moment where I was just like, I remember being in my early 20s, being at this place, which was called Black Betty's back then, but now it's called Jackrabbit Slim's, and just being like, wow, there's enough space in here to, like, to do wrestling, and there's, like, an awesome stage and everything like that. Just the fact that we've been able to keep it going for a year, like I said, haven't ruined wrestling in the state or the country, and able to get some really cool people involved over the year as well.
So have you noticed over the year that, like, you get more respect now? As a promotion?
Oh, yeah. Just the fact that we've had some, like, awesome people work for us, like when we had the first time we had Mikey Nichols, people were like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then we had, like, Mickey come over. Mickey absolutely killed it. I believe that was, like, her first match back after having time off after her ankle, having the baby and all that kind of stuff. And she killed it. And people were just like, wow. You guys had Mickey Fortune involved? Yeah. And then we had Mickey and Zach as well. We had, like,
people, by the way.
Absolutely love them. And to have Crackers on the same show as them as well. That was just, like, heartwarming to be able to be like, oh, they're also involved. Like, these are people I really, really respect as wrestlers. So, and they're good people as well. We do have, like, an unspoken rule where it's kind of like, obviously code of conducts, all that kind of stuff, but the unspoken rule is like there's no C's. No.
Yeah. Don't be a shit.
Don't be shit. That's the unspoken rule, and I'm really happy with the locker room and stuff that we have right now and being able to bring people in who fit into that locker room is also really important as well.
That's the biggest thing like I had when we moved up to the promotion that I work for now, Wide Bay, is I was just like, I just like wrestling is supposed to be fun, and if you're not making
100%
stage as well as in the crowd, I don't want you around.
Like, yeah, I'm very much like that as well.
And a lot of the people
we've been doing this way too long.
A lot of the people that aren't there that aren't getting booked anymore, that complain about not getting booked, there's probably a very good reason why you're not getting booked.
Yeah, well, we haven't had any issues like that yet.
I'll never say it publicly about them, because that just makes me sound like I'm a bad, like, but the reason you're doing it, and you can complain about it all you want, it's not going to change the fact that the people, it's not so much the people in the crowd, the people backstage don't want you there. So why would I put up with having them go, this is a really bad environment now, because this person just brings us down every time we're in it. So it's
I 100% agree with that.
Money is massive. It's so massive to producing good product in the ring.
Yeah. So I'm very lucky that I've got a very good crew. So there's like the backstage kind of crew. So there's five of us now. It was just me with some help first show, and then I got three other people aboard and one other person aboard. So we got five now, which is nice, because then it means there's always a single decider if we ever get tied. We work incredibly well as a team, and our locker room is just immaculate vibes. Every single person there, absolutely love them, adore them, love their work, adore them as people. And it would have... You know what? There actually isn't anyone in Australian wrestling who I can think of who I would put that harmonious energy in jeopardy of. I think that's really, like you said, it's meant to be fun.
It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Have fun. Have a laugh when you're backstage.
Yeah. Have fun.
That's the best thing. The one thing I loved, and last weekend when we were up at Wide Bay for No Escape, we were watching, because we're really lucky that in our event, the venue that we run at the Brolga, all the dressing rooms have televisions in them. So we can just sit around.
Oh, that's awesome.
So we can sit around our locker room and watch the hard cam. So all of us, anyone who's not wrestling or their matches are next, we all just sit down together, and maybe someone's gone and grabbed some food from a food truck, or they're all sitting down, they're eating their dinner, and we're watching the show like we're not on the show.
Yeah.
You're popping, and then when you see a rookie go out there, you see all of us watch it to take notes. So when the rookie comes back, you go, this is what you did, this is what you need to do, this was really good. It's just so good to see that environment. Yeah. And I don't know that, like, 2 years ago when I started up there, that environment was there. It was very, every man for himself. I'm like, well, this is a shit place to. This feels like shit. That needs to.
Well, ultimately, it's like a TV show or whatever, right? So you can't really have good chemistry and stuff like that with people on screen if they're fucking horrible off screen, right?
Yeah.
It just ruins. It ruins the whole thing. It ruins It ruins the performance, like what they're doing. You can always tell when someone's having a shit day as comparison to when they're having a good day. I don't care what anyone says. You can see that from a mile off. When you've got people who do come in, do your merch, when you've got your refs, when you've got your camera crew, your photographers, and even just down to the audience and stuff that you have as well. Like, it's not worth ruining any of those levels of satisfaction that we've got going on there just for one person to get a shot at one thing that they want to do. And it's not worth it. If you got a bad attitude, you can take it elsewhere.
Exactly right. That's so funny.
There's other places to go.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. I'll see you later.
Yeah. You can watch, but you can pay a ticket. You can buy a ticket, Liz.
Yeah. You got no idea how accurate that thing is. Anyway. So you got your big show coming up on the, will you believe that's the one?
It's
the date. What's the date? 28th?
It's the 28th of March. So it is Easter Thursday. Yep. Which means Good Friday. Everyone has Good Friday off. So that means we can go hard. And then we don't have to go home because we got Good Friday off, which is nice. That's
right. I must admit, I love the name of the place, Jackrabbit Slims. Is that like from Pulp Fiction? Am I wrong with that?
Or yes, it is from Pulp Fiction, 100%.
I'm like, why is that so familiar to me?
Yep. That's definitely where it's from.
Yeah, so it's a one full year of Dude, Where's My Car? Jackrabbit Slims. Doors open at 7. The show starts at 8. The main event is Jared Slade taking on the 0-1 heavyweight champion, the Smashing Machine, Chris Weiss, in a death match. Mate, getting Chris Weiss down, because Chris just doesn't really wrestle in Australia anymore. You don't really see him wrestle in the country.
No, we really don't. Like, he's one of those people where he has been gone 6 or 8 years. I can never remember exactly which one it is. And wrestling is his full-time job.
Mm. It's one of those guys.
It is his full-time job.
It's like one of those Australian wrestlers that no one talks about. That.
And by God, it bothers me because he's such a... I love Chris Weiss so much.
Like, they've worked internationally for years and no one really talks about them on a, like, this guy's really good. This guy's like him. And Ryan Rollins was the other one I was thinking about the other day. I was like,
people just forget he exists sometimes.
The last like 10 years and no one said anything about him.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like, we always see the same people. I'm not discrediting those people from having such an awesome career, like, whatsoever. I'm not discrediting that because they're working internationally and they're awesome because they're amazing at what they do. But yeah, Ryan Rollins and Chris Weiss are two of those people where absolutely love them as human beings, that they are top human beings. And Chris Weiss is one of those guys, like, he's our hometown boy and he's never here.
Yeah.
Because he's away. His wrestling is his job.
It's one of those things that do you remember Royce Chambers?
Yeah.
No, when he first started, people were going, oh, so what is he like? I'm like, he's like Brooksy mixed in with Ryan Rollins. And they're like, who's Ryan Rollins? I'm like, how the fuck do you not know who Ryan Rollins is?
It's like, the hashtag know your history?
Yeah. For those that don't, like, he also wrestles as Australian Suicide over in Mexico. Look him up. He's really good.
He's really good.
Really good.
Yeah. But yeah, that's like our main event. Having Jared Slate versus Chris Weiss in a death match, like, those guys just beat the snot out of each other when it comes to a normal match. So I'm really interested to see what they can do, giving them an extra layer as to what they can perform with.
Yeah, yeah. So what sort of capacity is Jackrabbit Slims? Or what sort of capacity do you usually run at?
So usual capacity for us, like, we max out. It's 120. It's a really small room. That's seasonal, 120. So being able to sell that out is like, yeah, that's cool. We keep
it's
at cap.
Yeah, it's great.
And Jack,
people, it's awesome.
Yeah, we can turn people away. It looks really cool. Jackrabbit Slims, it's 250. So it's considerably bigger. It's space. Really, really, really nice space. So that is... one second. Really, really nice space. Nice, big, huge LED screen on the stage and stuff when people come out. So we're going to be able to have, like, the Titantrons and everything all going. It's got three tiers, so people can see. So you got your bottom tier, which is where the wrestling is going to be happening, and then there's a second step up, which is about 30 centimetres, and then another one about 30 centimetres. So it's going to be a really good... without the seating, because we're not doing seating, everyone's going to be able to see from any point in this venue as well. It's, and like I said earlier on, it's like, it just holds a special place in my heart because I used to get absolutely maggot there when I was younger, and now I get to do wrestling shows there. So that's really cool for us.
That's like one thing I got really mad at when I moved up to Brisbane, and then RC Dub started running at HQ. Which was like heaven in Adelaide. And I'm like, I used to get drunk.
I've been there.
I wish I was back down home. I used to get drunk there every Wednesday night.
Yeah. And that was on the Hyde Street as well.
Hindley Street.
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
Definitely been there. Made an idiot of myself there at one point. Yep.
Oh, dear.
And as far as matches go, we just announced that we had Chris Target versus Harry, who used to be our young boy, come back off a successful tour of Japan himself. So that's going to be a rematch of something that happened nearly a year ago as well. Chris Target beat the snot out of Harry, but Harry is not the same boy he was a year ago. So that's going to be an interesting one to see how that they've evolved as characters, especially young boy Harry.
So how can they? How can people get tickets to your show? How can they follow what's going on with Dude, Where's My Ring on the socials? Get all of your plugs out so people can get around what you're doing.
All right. So on Twitter, we are DWMR Perth. On Instagram, same tag as well. And on Facebook, you can find us at Dude, Where's My Ring Perth. You can find tickets to our show Dead on Arrival. They are through OzTix. Sorry, I just had to think for a bit there. You can find us through OzTix. Or you can find us. And also you can find tickets for us through the Jackrabbit Slim's website as well. So we are up there in their upcoming events as well. Awesome. And also you can find us on YouTube. We've got every show that we have done up until like the last doubleheader weekend there, or every match is up there on YouTube, free to view. I do think our video man does like a fantastic job. Reese does a really good job with filming and everything as well. So we try to present it as best as we can. So yeah. I think he does a fantastic job with that as well.
So if you want a taste of what you can see on the 28th, head on to their YouTube, check out Dude, Where's My Ring. Michelle, thank you so much for joining me, mate. And
thank you so much for having me. It's been great to have a chat.
Yes, I know you were a bit worried that I wouldn't have you on because it's deathmatch. And
Well, hopefully, like if people can see sometimes the sane head presenting something, hopefully that can change some people's perception of what it is that we do as well.
Yeah. Oh, look!
So thank you for having me on for that.
You're right. I understand that I'm seen very like cornetty, where I like the old school wrestling, but like I understand it's flavors of ice cream. Like just because I
it
don't
is all
like
flavors.
Other people don't. So,
and like I said, you can have bad wrestling in any point. I just want to see good wrestling.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean I'm not going to give people shit about it because I like to stir.
Yes. See, but I've known you long enough to know that that's what you like. So
okay. I like to stir. Michelle, thank you so much for joining us. You can follow us here at Wrestle Radio Australia at Wrestle Radio AU on all your socials. Every Thursday night we do our Making Chicken Salad with me, Jeff, and Lachlan, where we review Aussie shows, we review American shows, talk about all the wrestling that's happening for that week or that fortnight, or where we're actually able to get together because we're all really busy at the moment. So, but until then, I'm Todd Eastman. That's been Michelle K. Haslock, and we will see you when I can cue this video up right after this. See you later, guys.
Here I was, blaming AEW for feeding you chicken shit, knowing you mindless millennials would be eating it up as if it were chicken salad, when it's really been your fault all along.
Make chicken salad out of chicken shit. People is as people does, that's all.